Welcome to Coaching in Progress, the podcast for pioneering insights, strategies, and solutions designed to empower high-impact teams and organizations. I'm Vito Abruzzi, your host, and today we'll explore Nintendo's journey, which is packed with lessons on continuous improvement that every team can apply. Let's roll.
All right, everyone, get ready, because today we're going deep into the world of Nintendo. You know, that company that started making playing cards way back in 1889, but then somehow completely revolutionized the entertainment industry.
And you know what's really interesting about Nintendo? It's not just about video games. Their story is really like a masterclass in continuous improvement. There's a lot we can learn from them, no matter what kind of team or project you're working on.
I totally agree. It's incredible to see how much they changed and adapted over decades, over a century, really. So we've got a bunch of articles and research here, and what we want to do today is pull out the really useful stuff, you know, the stuff you can use in your own work.
And the cool thing about Nintendo is that they're all about those small strategic steps, which is, when you think about it, the heart of the agile mindset. They didn't change everything overnight, right? They made a series of smart moves that over time had a huge impact.
Okay, let's jump in. One of the things that really stands out to me is that Nintendo didn't just wake up one morning as a gaming giant. They started small, but they were always thinking big.
Exactly. And you can see that in how they moved into electronic toys back in the 70s. They weren't just throwing darts at a board. They were testing things out, learning about electronics, figuring out how the toy market worked, all before they even made their first video game. They were gaining experience and knowledge step by step.
That's a great point. It's like they were putting a puzzle together, finding the right pieces before they committed to the whole picture.
Yeah. And that's where the strategy part comes in. It's not enough to just make small changes. You got to make sure they fit into your overall plan.
You know, this reminds me of something I read about Hiroshi Yamabuchi, the guy who took over Nintendo way back in 1949. He was only 22 at the time. Can you imagine? That's some serious leadership.
A lot of people didn't believe in him back then, but Yamabuchi had a clear vision for Nintendo. He wasn't afraid to shake things up, to take the company in brand new directions. And that kind of leadership, that's so important for creating a culture where continuous improvement can thrive.
So it's not just about being the leader. It's about making an environment where your team can try new things, experiment a bit, and maybe even fail sometimes.
Yeah, because that's how we all learn, right? And this brings us to another one of Nintendo's strengths, their amazing ability to build a culture of curiosity within their teams.
Ah, this is where the real magic happens. I mean, think about Shigeru Miyamoto, the guy behind Mario, Zelda, all those incredible characters.
Yeah.
He wasn't just a lone genius, right? Nintendo created a space where creativity and curiosity could just explode.
They asked what if all the time. They were constantly experimenting, and they celebrated those little aha moments, no matter how small. And that's how you get real innovation.
So you're saying it's not enough to just have a great idea. You need to have a place where those ideas can grow and become reality.
Exactly. It's about building a culture where it's okay to take risks,
yeah,
where you can challenge what everyone thinks, and where you're always looking for a better way to do things.
And I bet that applies to any team, no matter what they're working on. It's all about encouraging that learning and exploration process.
Absolutely. Now, let's be real for a second. Even with the best leadership and a team full of curious minds, you're still going to hit some bumps in the road. No one's perfect.
Right. And Nintendo, well, they definitely had their fair share of challenges, like the big video game crash back in 1983. It was a rough time for everyone in the industry, and a lot of people thought that was it for Nintendo.
Yeah, but look at how they handled it. They didn't just give up. They took it as a learning opportunity, changed their strategy, and then came roaring back with the NES in 1985. Now that's what I call resilience.
That's a fantastic point. So the lesson here is, it's not just about avoiding failure. It's about how you bounce back from it and how you use those setbacks to plan your next move.
You got it. And that connects perfectly with the whole agile mindset. Being agile means being flexible, being able to adjust when things don't go as planned.
It's about embracing that constant cycle of learning and improvement, always looking for ways to get better, even when things are tough.
Exactly. And through all of this, you know what Nintendo never forgot? The people who actually play their games, they've always been focused on their customers, and that's a huge part of their success.
It's all about understanding your audience, knowing what they want, and creating something that they'll truly enjoy.
You nailed it. That customer-centric approach is a powerful driver of continuous improvement.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here. We've talked about starting small but thinking big, the importance of strong leadership, creating a culture of curiosity, embracing resilience, and putting your customers at the heart of everything you do.
And remember, all of those principles are connected. They all work together to create this environment where continuous improvement can happen.
And the best part is, it's not some secret formula. These are things that any team can do, no matter what industry they're in or how big they are. So the question is, how can you apply these lessons to your own work? What small step can you take today to start building that agile mindset within your own team? We'll be exploring that as we continue our deep dive into Nintendo and the power of the agile mindset. Stay tuned.
So, you know, it's easy to sit here and admire what Nintendo did, but how do we actually use this stuff? How do we apply these ideas to our own teams and projects?
Right, that's the big question, isn't it? We can talk about curiosity and starting small all day long, but how do we actually make it happen?
Well, I think a good place to start is to find one specific area where a small change can make a difference. So think about your team's processes. Is there something that always slows you down, like a bottleneck, or maybe a communication issue that's causing a bunch of frustration, or even just a simple task that could be done way more efficiently?
So we're not trying to change the whole system at once. We're just looking for those little pressure points.
You got it. Pick one thing and figure out how to do it better. Let's say your team is having trouble keeping up with project updates. Instead of buying some fancy new software, maybe you could just start having a quick daily check-in. Everyone can share what they're working on, what's blocking them.
That's a great idea. Small change, but it could have a big impact.
Exactly. And it gets everyone on the same page without a ton of disruption.
You know, we were talking about leadership earlier, and it sounds like Nintendo's leaders were willing to take risks, to try new things.
Absolutely. Strong leadership is key for building a culture of continuous improvement. It's about giving your team the power to embrace change, not be scared of it.
Okay, so how do leaders actually do that? It can't just be about telling people to go be innovative.
It's about leading by example. If you're always asking for feedback, trying new approaches yourself, and if you show your team that it's okay to make mistakes and learn from them, well, they'll be more likely to do the same, right?
So you create a space where people feel safe trying new things, even if it doesn't work out perfectly every time.
Right. And don't forget to celebrate the small wins along the way, recognizing those little victories. That can really help build momentum and reinforce that improvement mindset.
It's like giving your team a little boost of energy to keep them going. Okay, so we've talked about leadership, about starting small, but let's get back to that idea of curiosity. How do we actually encourage that in a team?
I think it starts with building a culture where people are comfortable asking, what if? A place where brainstorming isn't just this thing you do once in a while, but a natural part of the process.
I love that. Creating space for those aha moments, for those surprising connections that can lead to something truly innovative.
Why not set aside some time each week for your team to just explore ideas? No pressure, no need for solutions right away. Just pure creative exploration, you know. You might be amazed at what they come up with.
Give them permission to play, to experiment, and see where their curiosity leads them. But of course, we can't talk about continuous improvement and forget about setbacks, because they are going to happen.
Oh, definitely. And Nintendo's story is a perfect example of how to deal with those challenges. Think about that video game crash in 1983. It would have been easy for them to just call it quits.
But they didn't. They got knocked down. But they learned from it and came back even stronger.
Yeah. Resilience is all about seeing challenges as opportunities. It's about saying, okay, that didn't work, but what can we learn from it? How can we do it better next time?
So we don't get stuck on those setbacks. We use them to fuel the next iteration of the next experiment.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to make mistakes. In fact, sometimes our mistakes are our best teachers. The key is to make it okay for people to make mistakes, as long as they learn from them.
You know, this is really changing how I think about failure. It's not something to avoid, it's something to learn from. Okay, so we've talked about leadership, curiosity, resilience, starting small. But there's one more piece of the puzzle that we can't forget.
Ah, the customer. You're right. Nintendo wouldn't be where they are today if they didn't focus on their players. They were always looking for ways to improve the user experience, to make their games more accessible and fun for everyone.
It's a good reminder that all this talk about improvement, all this effort, it's not just about making things better for the sake of it. It's about creating something valuable for the people who use it.
Exactly. Think about ways you can get feedback from your customers, understand their needs, and then use that to shape your continuous improvement efforts.
So we're closing the loop.
Yeah.
Connecting those internal improvements to the impact they have on the outside world.
Exactly. When you do that, you create this awesome cycle of learning and growth, and it benefits everyone. And remember, this isn't just about hitting some metric or reaching a goal. It's about creating a way of thinking, a way of working. That becomes part of your team's identity.
It's about embracing that agile mindset, that constant desire to learn, adapt, and get better.
You got it. And now the big question is, how can you take all this cool stuff we've learned from Nintendo and start using it in your own work right now?
What's one small step you can take today that will put your team on the road to continuous improvement? Stick with us as we wrap up our deep dive into Nintendo and the power of the agile mindset.
All right, welcome back to our Nintendo deep dive. It's pretty amazing how much we can learn from a company that's been around for, what, over 100 years? Constantly changing, always pushing the limits of what's possible. We've talked about starting small, but thinking big, about building a culture of curiosity, about resilience, and of course, putting your customers first. All those things that have made Nintendo so successful.
And the best part is, you don't have to be in the video game business to use these principles. They work for any team, any industry, anyone who wants to get better at what they do.
Exactly. In fact, I'd love to hear some real-world examples of how these principles are being used by other companies and teams. Well, one of the biggest examples is the agile methodology, you know, in software development. It's all about breaking those huge projects down into smaller pieces and constantly testing, getting feedback, and making changes along the way.
So it's like that start small, think big approach in action. You're not trying to build the perfect product right away.
Exactly. Agile teams are all about testing and learning, adapting as they go.
And that feedback loop is so important.
It's about getting your product in front of users as early as possible, listening to what they have to say, what they love, what they hate, and then using that to make things better.
Just like Nintendo, right? They release a new console, but then they pay attention to what the players are saying, what's working, what's frustrating, and they use that feedback to make updates, even design new hardware.
Exactly. And it's not just tech companies either. Think about Amazon. They're obsessed with the customer experience, and they're always experimenting with new ideas. Sometimes those ideas are huge successes, and sometimes, well, they don't quite work out.
But that's all part of the process, isn't it? You got to be willing to try new things, learn from the experiments, and keep moving forward.
Absolutely. And it's important to remember that this continuous improvement mindset isn't just for companies. It's something we can all do. On a personal level, too.
So we set goals for ourselves, get feedback from mentors or colleagues, and always be learning new things.
That's it. It's about that growth mindset, believing that you can always get better no matter where you are in your journey.
I gotta say, this has been a really inspiring deep dive. It's not just about looking at what Nintendo did. It's about understanding why they were successful and figuring out how we can use those same principles in our own lives and work.
And remember, continuous improvement is not a finish line, it's a journey. There's always room to grow, to be more creative, to make positive changes.
So as we wrap things up here, what's the one big takeaway you want our listeners to remember?
For me, it's the power of those small, consistent actions. Don't underestimate what you can achieve by making little improvements every day, week after week. Over time, those changes add up to something amazing.
Yeah, just like all those small steps Nintendo took, eventually led them to become the global icon they are today. It's about having a clear vision, being dedicated to getting better, and having the courage to keep going even when things get tough.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So as you go about your day, ask yourself, what's one tiny step I can take today to get closer to my goals? What can I learn? How can I make a positive impact?
Those are great questions to keep in mind. And on that note, we'll let you go ponder those questions and start taking action. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Nintendo and the world of continuous improvement.
Thank you for joining me on Coaching in Progress. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to read the Coaching in Progress newsletter on LinkedIn, where we discuss the insights and strategies covered. Let's keep the conversation going. Follow along and stay connected for more tools to empower your teams and elevate your leadership. Goodbye.